Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Alfie Evans died in a British hospital over the weekend. It would have been nice, wouldn't it, have been for the many who wanted to help him to perhaps find out exactly what was wrong with him, maybe even perhaps, possibly, no matter how remote the possibility, save him or cure him. It would have been nice if they would have been at least allowed the opportunity to do so. But a combination of British law and rules from British judges, inaction on the part of, well, I think people in the British government who might have been able to step in and say something, that opportunity was never afforded Alfie Evans or his parents or the many who wanted to help him. Was this a failure merely of policy at the hospital, in the healthcare system, in the courts, in the government, in the laws? Was there something deeper at work? Still something deeper at work in Great Britain that cannot prevent the government from stripping someone of their right to live. Joining us to talk about lessons from Alfie Evans and his death, David French. He's a regular guest constitutional law attorney, previously served as senior counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice and for the Alliance Defending Freedom, senior writer for National Review and author of a recent column titled Alfie Evans Foreshadows a Dark American Future. David, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Is Britain's present a preview of America's future on this issue?
Possibly. I hope not, but possibly. And there's a couple of reasons why I say possibly. One is there is a move for and towards greater nationalization of our healthcare system. And one of the aspects of this, of the Alfie Evans case, is obviously since Britain has a national healthcare system, it essentially has a monopoly on the provision of health services in the country. And so that gives it enormous power that may not exist, that doesn't exist in the U.S. I mean, if you have resources, if you have the ability to pay, or if someone's willing to provide you charity care, for example, you can move a patient to another hospital. You can change. And here, there was a monopoly. It would took a hospital from a different country to come forward and offer to take care of Alfie's care until the parents had options. So there's one is our trend towards potential national monopoly on healthcare and nationalization of healthcare. It's a trend that we need to be very cautious about. But even more than that, and deeper than that, is the British government and the British system's de-emphasis on the liberty of the family and its emphasis on the power of the state. And in the United States, because our government was founded for the purpose of securing our liberty, that's the purpose articulated in the Declaration of Independence. The default position is a position of individual liberty. Without having to be a constitutional scholar, Americans understand this almost instinctively, or many millions of Americans. In Great Britain, however, and so what that means in the United States, let's just take an example. If you are a fit family, if you are a fit parent, in other words, you have not abused your child, you are not failing in your duty to care for your child, you are going to be able to make decisions about your child's health care. And what was remarkable about this case is there was no allegation that Alfie Evans' parents were anything other than fit, loving parents. But even though his parents were fit parents, and even though there was a viable medical alternative of free care provided by the Italian government and the Vatican, the British government essentially stripped the parents of custody for the purpose of ordering this child's death. And that is a stunning expression of state power, just stunning. And I want Americans to understand what that was. I want Americans to comprehend what that was. And I want Americans to make sure that we are united in our effort to prevent this usurpation of the American idea that government exists for the purpose of defending our liberty. It is not so powerful that it defines our liberty.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that in the case of Great Britain, Alfie Evans, it was not only bad policy riddled all the way throughout the system of healthcare, hospitals, even the courts and the laws there. It was something more fundamental as well.
Yeah, bad policy comes from bad ideas. It comes from a rotten political culture. And what you have, and this is something I think is important for folks to understand, is the European world has a different view of individual liberty than the American world. It has a different view of the rights of the child, for example, than the American world. And in the American world, we're dealing with a structure, as imperfect as it is, and as under attack as it is, and as damaged as it is still a system built around individual liberty. It is built around the notion that the state exists to preserve and protect our liberty. And among those unalienable rights, what's the first one? Life. When the American state steps in to deal with to trump a parent's wishes for the quote unquote best interest of the child, it usually only does so in circumstances where the parental entity has broken down in a fundamental way. So mother and father disagree. Well, who's going to determine what happens to the child when mother and father disagree? Then often, you know, there will be a court-appointed guardian. There will be a best interest of the child standard. Or mother and father have been proven to be unfit. They're abusive. Or they are taking actions that are grotesquely detrimental to their child. In those circumstances where the mother-father union breaks down in the sense of their love and their competence in caring for their child, then the system will step in. But when the mother and father are competent, loving, and able to care for the child, the American system exists to defend their rights, to defend their liberty. And that is not what was happening in Britain.
You also wanted to remind us that there is a generally religious foundation to the notion that life not only isn't an intrinsic right of the individual, but that the society exists to protect it and to further one's ability to protect it.
Yeah, and you know, this again is, I like to think of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution as linked to documents in an important sense. The Declaration of Independence articulates the founding philosophy. The Constitution puts the Declaration of Independence, the founding philosophy, into law. And fundamental to the founding philosophy is a inherently religious statement, and is we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. So that these are rights that come from God. And what the Constitution does is make that statement operative. It articulates the limits of state authority. It articulates the fundamental liberties that belong to each American. And so the Declaration articulates the philosophy, the sort of the core founding creed of the Republic, and the Constitution makes that creed law. And I think that that's one of the ways that's very helpful for people to understand the American founding.
You had mentioned briefly the degree to which, even in America, where the philosophical underpinning still exists in theory and in our founding documents, they're still under attack. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is it's far from unified in this country that people share the view that the state exists to preserve American liberty. We have a very live dispute in this country, and it goes down to who are we? What is it about America that is distinctive or should be distinctive? And the fact of the matter is there's an awful lot of people who believe that the United States of America should be more like Europe, that Europe has it right, that the government exists for the sake of the government defines rights, and the government defines rights according to overarching goals of social justice. And in that circumstance, that's a very dangerous notion to the American constitutional structure and constitutional order.
So can we talk about this as kind of a deadly a toxic combination of bad philosophy that, even perhaps though people may not realize it, robs the individual of the right to life and transfers that right, or what shall we say, the source of that right, to government, along with perhaps bad policy that gives too much power in the sense of a single payer healthcare plan gives too much power to said government.
Right. Well, you know, so much of the philosophy of government can be boiled down to a question: who decides? Who decides? Who decides everything from your right to speak, your right to life in difficult circumstances, the extent and limits of your liberty? And, you know, the American founding did not leave out a role for government in that. It didn't leave it, you know, government for, you know, under the Fifth Amendment can deprive someone of life, even of life with due process of law. But the default position in the American founding is a default position in defense of liberty. That is not the case in other nations. And what that ends up doing is it creates an enormous amount of power in governing authorities. It gives governing authorities an enormous amount of power to shape their society and to shape their culture. And it's easy to see the allure of that, like, especially if you think that you are righteous, that your vision of social justice is what is best for all Americans, then that amount of power can be pretty intoxicating. Think of all the good I can do. Think of all the injustices I can eliminate. And, you know, so you marry that statism with utopianism, and you've got a recipe for authoritarianism. And that is, you know, one of the real issues that we have in the United States is we have a marriage of an awful lot of people of statism and utopianism, and it results in an authoritarianism. And that's what we have to guard against.
You say that we should not wait until it's too late. We shouldn't wait until America is thoroughly secularized, centralized, and authoritarian. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, there's an awful lot of people who, let me put it like this, and this is very tempting in the U.S. right now for both people on the right and people on the left. I want government to be powerful to do the things I want government to do. And so you'll see, you know, big government conservatism replaced by big government liberalism, and then replaced again by big government conservatism. And what ends up happening is the real argument starts to be about, well, what is it that I want this really big government to do? But if you're reaching that level of argument, you've already surrendered too much, because the response should be not into what is it that I want this big government to do. One of the first responses is this what you're talking about even part of the role of this government? Should government intrude into this process? All too often, we're not even asking that question. And the problem is when you turn that one-way ratchet so much in the direction of big government, then you ratchet up the stakes of political elections so very much that both sides begin to get apocalyptic in their rhetoric. We cannot allow this gigantic entity to switch over to the other side. We can't allow it. And then because that entity has so much power, and my view is if you're at that point, you've already lost, because you cannot guarantee yourself perpetual power. You're going to be in a position where the other side is going to gain that power. And when they have that power, one thing that we know about power is when people have it, they tend to use it.
Finally then, David, if someone were to ask you in casual conversation, apart from the medical reasons, which were altogether unclear, we weren't even given an opportunity to explore them thoroughly, why did Alfie Evans have to die? What would your answer be?
Why did he have to die? I would answer that by saying, and I'm not going to imply darkness in the heart of the British bureaucrats, but I would say that he had to die for a simple reason, that the government thought it was best. And that is not an answer that should satisfy any single American.
David French is a constitutional law attorney, previously served as senior counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice and for the Alliance Defending Freedom. He is senior writer for National Review and author of a recent column titled Alfie Evans Foreshadows a Dark American Future. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And you can follow David on Twitter at David A. French. That's at David A. French. David, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. Deeply appreciated.
Folks, one of the foremost Christian apologists for life, Scott Klusendorf, will be making the case for life at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. Scott's going to be making that case for life. Attendance is limited to 400 at the conference. Registration is $120, but that includes three meals. You can learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, we're going to launch into our series, introducing the books of the Bible. We are all the way up to the book of Ezra. The people are returned to the land, or a smattering of them, a remnant of them are returned to the land. You'd think it would be a happy occasion? Not so much. We'll find out why with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller after this. You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Over the next 5 years, Los Alamos National Laboratory is planning to hire thousands of new employees in the areas of science, engineering, security, administration, and construction. If you have both a technical and confessional mind, Los Alamos may be the place for you. I invite you to explore the possibilities on the websites for the Town, Laboratory, and Redeemer Lutheran Church.
It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be. And it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs.
Learn more about demystifying the Proverbs 31 woman at issuesetc.org.